Let's join in together and say who we are, what we have, and what we will and can do. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Now, you should give yourselves a hand for that. That is wonderful for us to claim those promises and to live according to the greatness of God's Word. What more could you ask for? You do want to ask for more? Okay. Well, let's always make sure that it's according to God's Word. Now, I want to share something before I teach. I always do this. I don't know why, but I get these things that work in my heart that I've got to start with or end with and get it out of the way and then get back to the meat of the matter. What I end up doing is I make these teachings that have different parts to it, like five parts, and then I have to commit to teaching those five parts. But the problem with that is that there's needs from the body that come up, and I've got to take care of those things too. So that's what these little adjunct teachings are. And I've called this one, Why Sit We Here Till We Die? Now, this is an adjunct teaching, okay? It's like in addition to. Well, I happen to know that some of you guys are dealing with problems and things that are difficult to manage, and they're exhausting you. And no matter how much rhetoric, old repetition of teachings, things that people have talked to you about, counsel that you've received from wonderful people, no matter how much of that you hear, it never seems to fix the problem. And I think you might know what I'm talking about if you're going through this. Like, for instance, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, we've learned, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And so you've had somebody tell you that maybe 1,000 times, or maybe you've read it yourself, or maybe you've thought it yourself, and you know that your life should have full joy. Well, that's a wonderful truth. How about John chapter 10, verse 10? Now, I think everybody knows this verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the Old Testament. Yep, I said Old Testament. The Gospels are in the Old Testament. The book of Acts is the fulcrum between the Old and the New. And the church began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And after that, you have the New Testament. It's literally the Christian part of the Bible. The Gospels are not the Christian part of the Bible. There were no Christians then. Well, that might be new to you, but it's true, because even Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian. He came to bring Christianity, and it wasn't until he ascended up on high and then that God gave gifts unto men. It wasn't until the outpouring of Holy Spirit that Christianity actually begun. Well, I'm getting off track. So let's get back to John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, how many times have you read that verse? 10,000? I don't know. How many times have you heard it? 100,000? I don't know. But it's one of those verses that somebody might tell you when you're suffering or when your walk isn't going the way you want it to go, the way you want to walk as a Christian. You look at yourself, you look in the mirror, and you go, man, I don't think I'm living the more than abundant life, but I've heard it so many times. Why not? Why am I not living the more than abundant life? How about Ephesians chapter 3? Now here's one I'm pretty sure you've heard. I'm pretty sure you know, and I'm pretty sure you want to believe. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do, and everybody has this memorized, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Well, that's a verse that somebody might share with you if you're down and out, if things aren't going your way. Come on, all you need to do is pray. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And you're going, okay, but where's the disconnect? Very interesting. Very interesting. How about Isaiah chapter 58? Well, we can pull verses from the Old Testament just as easily as we can from the New in terms of your foundational walk, in terms of the promises of God, in terms of walking in places that most people dare not tread. That would be according to God's family plan. Isaiah 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. Isaiah 58, verse 11, there you go. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Well, like if you're down and out, then where's all this water and springs and fat thy bones and satisfied soul and God's guidance? I mean, you might wonder sometimes, right? If you're ever in a situation, Chris, you can go to 2 Kings chapter 6. If you're ever in a situation where you just don't seem to have the answers, where you know the Bible verses, where you've run them through your mind 1,000 times, and things just aren't clicking, maybe you've been in the Word for like 30 or 40 or 50 years, maybe longer, and you think, wow, if anybody should be walking the Word, it's me. I'm the one that should know how to do this stuff, yet what's wrong? Anyway, if you're going through stuff like that, maybe there's a different answer. Maybe it's more than just somebody telling you what you already know. Maybe it's more than listening to a teaching for the 100th time. Maybe it's more than reading that book for the 100th time. Maybe it's more than just feeding your brain and ruminating and praying and trying to rework the ground, the fertile ground of your mind. Maybe there's something else. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host, and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. Wow. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Man, oh man, that is bad, bad news. So you've got this army, the king of Syria's army, all his hosts surrounding Samaria and starving the occupants of the city to death. Can you imagine? To death. Well, that's a great story to read, and I'm not going to focus any more than that on it, except I want you to read 2 Kings chapter 7. And so there were these four leprous men at the entering in of the gate in Samaria. And everybody was basically dying. They were starving to death. And even the king was like really bad off. They had 5 horses left in town. It was a bad, bad situation. There just wasn't any more food. And so they were not only starving, but they were afraid. They were scared to death. Nobody would leave the city. Nobody would try to figure out if they could somehow become victorious over this situation. And that's where these four leprous men come in. They were outside waiting basically to die. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? And if you read the rest, you'll see that there was just nothing left for them to do. Either they sat there and died, or they got up and, as they put it, died. Maybe the host, the army out there, was just going to kill him. Well, it turns out that the army was gone and the host camp was gone, was empty. And they got to the first tent and they just stuffed their bellies and came back with all kinds of riches. And they kept doing that all night. And they said, well, wait a minute, we better go tell the king's household. And they did. The king didn't even want to believe it. They just thought it would be a trap. It was that bad of a situation. The point I would like to make is that when you've heard enough, when you've scratched your ears, your itchy ears with the word enough, and you're still not achieving the results that you need, that you desperately need, you need to listen to those lepers. Why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here till we die? If you remain inactive, you don't try to do something to change your situation. It's called physicality, where you do something different for once. You make a huge change. Maybe it seems huge. Maybe it's just a little change. But you make a change so that you are no longer in the same environment, the same situation that has brought nothing but no answers to you. Because maybe the real solution is that you need to change your situation. Maybe you need to do like the lepers do and get up and go somewhere. To get up and go see if those Syrians would feed you. Go see if deliverance might be available that way. And if not, they were going to die anyway. So, I mean, they were at their breaking point. If you're at your breaking point, then quite possibly you need to get up and move. You need to get up and do something. Don't expect change if you don't.